We're going to continue. I mean, I left off. I know Pastor Greg was teaching on the motto, and something that the Lord had instructed me and him and Pastor Enrique to teach on this area of the motto of the church. And again, it's scriptural, but how many know what the motto of the church is? Where the love of God is evident, and we're going to get it up on the wall here so we see it. Where the love of God is evident, where the word of God is taught, where the spirit of God is directing, and where the power of God is manifested. You know, it's interesting when you look at words, and it's interesting, this motto, as we call it, this was given to Pastor Sarah when they came back. The Utterbox were the founders, and when they were coming back from Rhema Bible Training Center in Oklahoma, they were driving, you know, back on Route 80 and all of that business. And they were, she said, as we were going through the Delaware Water Gap, I got this. I said, ah. So these words, when something's evident, it's a visible sign of something. Where the love of God is what? Evident. And recently, I'm talking about with the last 3 or 4 months, the Holy Spirit said, you need to make that personal. Because it's a wonderful thing to have something you profess, but you have no intention of doing that. And then it means nothing. So, you know, some may try to walk in the love of God, or, you know, have the word of God dwell richly in them and have them be directed by the Spirit of God. But you need to make that a daily confession, a profession. I'm a place where the love of God is evident. In other words, I'm walking in love. I'm a place where the love of God is evident. I'm a place where the word of God dwells in me richly. I'm a place that where the Spirit of God directs, and I'm a place where the power of God is manifested. And when we begin to do that, what God is trying to do is his heart is to reach people. So he told me, he just used that example. In other words, he said, you're going fishing for people. And that's Matthew 4, verse 18, 19. He said, you know, when Jesus was ministering, he came by and he saw Simon and James and so forth. And he said, you know, put down your nets. And he said, what? He said, come and follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And I like the New Living Translation. It said, verse 18, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. So we're going fishing. And God's heart is to reach people. He died for people, and he is trying to reach people to help them to insert himself into their lives. And then what? He's working through us to reach people. That's Matthew 28. That's the Great Commission. He told us to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and those that would receive will be saved. Those that won't will be damned. And then he said, all power I have all power. Now you go. So he's positioned us to be ambassadors for him, speak on his behalf to reach people. It's God working through us. John 3:16, how God so loved the world that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not, what, perish, but have everlasting life. So God is concerned about people. And we're so close to his return. You know, about a month ago, I was in Connecticut at some meetings, and this gentleman was there. He's a Rhema grad in 1981, and his focus, his whole ministry is on end times. And he has a book out called End Times Made Easy, and he had about 80 points that showed how close we are to the return of Christ. And God's heart is to reach people. I mean, we're so close, and it's not just him ministering that word, there's others, that we're so close. You can just look up and see, look around, and all of the signs, all of the things are in place that prove he's about ready to return. And we need to be busy about his work. I'm not saying neglect your own personal responsibilities, but I'm saying be aware. Just be aware that he's coming soon. And not be so caught up in everyday activities that you're not aware. Be aware. Be looking. I mean, when you look at stuff going on, he said, look at three countries, Russia, Turkey, and Iran. He said, look at those three countries, because he said, you're going to see. He said, they're already in place. They're already doing things that begin to align themselves. Russia is going to go after, is going to, what does the scripture say in Daniel and Ezekiel? They're gonna rise up and go after Israel. And you're beginning to see all of the tension. You're seeing it in society. You're seeing people just bicker and hate one another. It says, when iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. This is Matthew 24. So we're seeing that. We're seeing people bite and devour one another. There's a lack of love towards one another. And I was speaking to somebody. I was in a store a month or so ago. I walk in and minding my business. He went, what is going on? I'm like, why is he asking me that? I ain't talking with him. He didn't want to know what's going on. I said, well, I'm going to get my stuff. And then when I come back, I'll say something to him. Now, I mean, I go into this store so they know who I am, but it was just an interesting exchange. So when I went back, I said, I'll tell you what's going on. I said, the further people move away from God, I said, the worse it gets. I said, people are just ignoring any kind of influence from God. When they remove God from the equation, you just have turmoil and hatred, and you open the door to the devil, and it just is, it's horrible. So God is saying, look, you just go into the world and be a light and walk in the love of God. It'll be like honey to a bee. People will just come to you because you're just being nice. You're being loving, but it's not just your human love. It's the love of God working in us. You loving people that aren't lovely. You reaching out with the love of God to people that don't act nice will cause people to take notice. So God has really been prompting us to just focus on this for a little bit, that wherever we go, God is wanting to bring the power of the church, the power of the gospel, the power of the Holy Ghost, his power, his love, and really demonstrate who he is. Isn't that what Jesus did in his ministry when he was in this earth? He said, I do nothing except the Father shows me or gives me direction. And when even his disciples said, show us the Father, And he said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So God is wanting, who lives in you? He, when you said yes to him, he stepped right inside you. Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. He lives in you. And sometimes we're so distracted, and I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm saying we're so distracted with the things of life that we forget who's in us. When we're walking somewhere, we're going somewhere, we're bringing him. The greater one's in us. And the Holy Ghost is in us, and the power of God is in us. And his love has been shed abroad in our hearts. So when we walk into a room, he comes in. The fragrance of God comes in with us. So when we go somewhere, I'm telling you, things can happen. Things can change. I'm telling you, you go into a place sometimes and you can stir up some things. Oh, yes. So God is wanting us, wherever we go, you know, it's wonderful if people come to church, but I'm telling you, we're at a stage right now where God is wanting us to go out into wherever we go, where we interact, people we go, stores, you know, gas stations, wherever we're going. He's saying, you bring the church, you bring me with you. And he wants you to touch people's lives. He's not looking for you to preach at people. He's just looking for you to just be you. And you share the love of God. You just, you know, touch people where they are. Help people where they are. Bring them to a place. Sometimes when you interact with people, remember, some sow and some reap. Right? So sometimes our responsibility is just to interact with someone to show them love. Maybe to get them thinking about something spiritual or God that maybe they never thought about. And then somebody else will come along behind and water. And somebody else will come behind and water. And somebody else will come by and water. That could go on for a long time. And then somebody comes along and then they're ready to receive something. Because there's been some seed planted and a lot of watering. Every now and then, somebody will water. And then they're ready. You see how God works? He's a good God. He's a loving God. He cares for us. He loves us. And he's trying to help us. So, you know, I was, you know, and I shared this. You know, from a young youngster, I fished, so I knew a little bit about fishing, and then so you know that's why I was using that example that I have fished in every kind of weather, every kind of place, streams, lakes, mostly fresh water. I don't recall too much saltwater fishing. But in every kind of weather, every kind of terrain, I've done that, backpacked into remote areas just to go fishing, because I like to do that. I learned what kind of bait fish, you know, eat. You got to figure that out, or you're coming home empty-handed. You got to figure out what kind of bait they're eating in that place you're fishing, because it may be different from place to place. And you gotta know even the time of the year. Sometimes the bait is different. Well, you know, even with that, I'm sharing that because at that time of my life, I had a passion to do that, and I learned about it. Well, some of you like to shop. Some of you like to, you know, whatever you like to do. You have a passion to do that. Some people like to play golf, some people, whatever it is you like to do. You have a passion. And you know when you have a passion, you look for opportunities to do it. I can tell you this, some of you, when you go on vacation, you're looking to see what kind of places you can go shopping when you get there. Why? Because you like to shop. And you're looking ahead of time. You don't just guess when we get there. I hope they got some place to shop. No, a lot of times you're looking ahead of time. They got this kind of store. They got this place. Or if you like to eat, you're looking ahead of time. What kind of places they got to eat when I get down there? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you like soul food, I'm going somewhere. I'm looking. They got a soul food restaurant. I want to know. Or if you like Chinese food, they got a I'm going down there. They ain't got no Chinese food. Right? Because you like to eat. You're looking. You're looking for opportunities to satisfy that. Isn't that right? Well, let me ask the question. If your heart is towards people, you're looking for opportunities to interact with people. Not just get in the store, get out. In other words, be aware, be open. If the Holy Ghost says stop and help this person or pray for him, stop and do that. He knows people. That's what I'm saying. Just be aware. You know, when I used to fish, I go by lakes or streams. I go, wonder what they got in there. Now it's food. I don't do as much fishing. I don't do much at all. But boy, I sure do like to have a good meal. So sometimes they're like, man, I wonder what that kind of food is. Right? So I'm just saying that today we're at a place well, we need to be thinking about kingdom business. We need to be thinking about people because people need help. They need God in their lives. And you may know God, but you may be struggling. And even then, you may bump into somebody and you may end up getting in a conversation with somebody and they need some help. Maybe they need prayer. Maybe they just need an encouraging word. That's all I'm saying. Be aware. Be thinking about it. Just be thinking about it. And be open. You know, we sing that song, I'll say yes. Yes, Lord. When I get up in the morning, yes, Lord, I'm available. If it's just say an encouraging word, if you get a prompt to pick up the phone and call somebody, pick up the phone and call them. Don't go, oh, sure, I sure wish I should have called them. No. So those are the things that God wants us to think about, and it all takes faith to do that. When you get a nudge or you get an impression or you get a prompt to do something, just step out and do it. That's faith. And God honors that, and he rewards that. Whatever those nudges are. And so God is wanting us to, I like this scripture here. Let me read this, Romans. This is in the Passion Translation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, 17. I like this. It says, I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. Whew, that's so good. I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. And in verse 17, it says, this gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. And it moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living by faith. Huh. So it moves us from receiving eternal life by faith to the power of living by faith. And that comes through what? The gospel. And the more we feed on it, the more of a revelation of that comes. The more light comes. So God is looking for us to reach people. And Let me just read this in the New Living Translation. This is Luke chapter 1. And this was Jesus on the shore of Galilee. Starting in verse 1, it says, "One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing the nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon," that's Peter, "its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there." Now, like this. He said, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish.' And Peter said, 'Master,' Simon replied, 'we worked hard all last night, and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again.' It said, 'At this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear.'" I've been on the Sea of Galilee. It's a big area. And this says here, "A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking." And then it goes on, but isn't this interesting? In this story, I just looked at this. Peter said to Jesus, "We fished all night, and we come up empty-handed. We got nothing." And he said, "But if you say so, I'll go do it." So now here, what they had done didn't work. And sometimes things we're doing in life to reach people, some of the methods or things we've done, maybe it didn't work. And he's saying, "I will show you how to fish for people." So we need to always include the Holy Spirit. We need his direction. We need his help on how to reach people. Sometimes we think, "Well, I know what to do. I'll just do this." Maybe not. Maybe that's not the right thing to do. We need to always ask for his guidance and his help on how to reach people. Let him open the doors. Just keep it, you know that term, keep it simple? And it says, keep it simple, stupid. But we need to keep it simple when we minister to people. And when I say minister to people, I mean just sharing with people the love of God and the word of God. Just let them share their heart with you and just respond. Sometimes just keep it at that. So, you know, I'm thinking about some of the people. You know, we support Nicky Cruz. We've supported him for years. And he does what they call hit and runs. He'll go into the Bronx, and now he does a lot of international things. He's going into cities where, I mean, it's really tough areas. They're either gang riddled or they're, you know, drug riddled or whatever. And they do what they call hit and runs. They go into those areas. They set up speakers. They may do whatever kind of music. They've got a group called Truce. They'll go into that area. Maybe they do hip hop, rap, whatever it is, just to make noise, draw a crowd. That's what they do. They draw a crowd, and then he comes and preaches the gospel. They minister to the people, and then they're out of there quick before all of the gang leaders come in and the people that are coordinating drugs. They're in, they're out. They call it a hit and run. They go in, they reach people, they draw a crowd, they minister to them. You know, people might be suicidal. In other words, however they can minister to them, they receive Christ, and they're out of there quick. That was a method that, and they still do that. They're doing it overseas. They go into some of these countries, and that's what they're doing. So We need to ask the Holy Ghost how to reach people. Don't get stuck on methods. You know, Pastor Hagin always said this. He said, methods will change, but the word never changes. The way you reach people, the bait, the way you go about reaching people, maybe he'll have you, you know, bring a meal to somebody or take them out, whatever it is. You know, do something for them. And so, that's what God is nudging us to do. Wherever you are, think about people, reach people. And this scripture here, this is the Passion Translation. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, 11. It says, "For you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you." Huh. So his life is continually being renewed in you, causing you to be what? Made in his image and likeness. In other words, it says, "For you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God." Now, verse 11, it says, "In this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, or your ethnicity, education, or economic status. They matter nothing, for it is Christ that means everything as he lives in every one of us." And that's really what Paul said. He said, some are of this group, and so forth, but it's Christ. That doesn't mean that you don't acknowledge your ethnicity or your education. It says, in God's eyes, they mean nothing except Christ. Paul said that. He said, everything I have is dung except him. Doesn't mean we don't pursue education. Doesn't mean any of that. It means that in God's eyes, don't elevate it to the place where it's above him. Don't elevate those things above him. That's what that really means. And then verse 14 of that same chapter, it says, "For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues, love becomes the mark of true maturity." And then this is the Passion Translation, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And of course, we know that scripture verse. It says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind," so you can do what? You can know what his good and perfect will is. But I like this in the Passion. It says, "Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes." So the more we grow in the Word of God, the more we feed on the Word of God, we are inwardly changed. We become like him, and we are able to what? Know or discern, it says here, what he thinks, how to approach something. So one of the things that I wanted to just touch on briefly here today was, we've shared, this is a place where the love of God is evident. We highlighted that. This is a place where the Word of God is taught. We highlighted that. And this is a place where what? The Spirit of God is directing. So I just want to touch on that, that everything we do, and this is in what? Reaching people, going fishing. He is going to have to show us how to do that. John 15, if we just put that up, John 15:7, if you want to look at that, this will help us here. And I'll read this from, John 15:5. I'll read this from the New Living Translation. John 15:5, it says, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing." So without him, we can't do a thing. So we need his direction, we need his guidance to know how to fish for people, how to reach people, his direction. So apart from his directions, apart from his leadings, we can do nothing. That means you can't even have fruit, successful fruit, in reaching people unless you're directed by him. So that's really what we're talking about. This is a place where the Spirit of God is directing. And when we're talking about reaching people and fishing for people, being fishers of men, that means we need to be directed by the Holy Ghost in everything we do, and especially in this area. So the better way, in John 10:27, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." So to be better at fishing, I'm going to read, this is the Passion Translation, Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17. This is in the Passion Translation. I'll tell you, the more I grow in spiritual things, the more I realize that I need him all the time. He didn't say, Proverbs, what does it say? "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways," what? "Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." It didn't say, don't use your understanding. It just says, don't lean to it. So we got a brain, use it. Use your brain. But then if you have to make a choice or a decision, trust him, look to him, and he will direct your path. So we look to God, we look to the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, to direct us in life and the decisions we have to make, and especially in this area of reaching out to people. But starting in verse 17, this is the Passion Translation. It says, "I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom," "and the Spirit of revelation, to know him through your deepening intimacy with him." Just in life, in order for you to have a more intimate relationship, whether it's with a spouse or a friend, you have to spend time with them. You have to spend time with them. You have to get to know them. You have to look to them. So here, he's saying here, Paul is praying, "I pray that God the Father would give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation," and that's what this says here, "to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray," verse 18, "I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. Well, when he says flood or illuminate the eyes of your imagination, I don't think we talk enough about that, the imagination that we have. You know, the devil has gotten in there and caused people's imagination to get all goofed up. But people are already using their imagination, and the scripture says, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. But God wants to flood our imagination so that we can use it for him. He gave us that. So, you know, isn't it interesting? People pay thousands of dollars to go hear a motivational speaker, and what are they doing? They're using the principles of God. People are paying thousands of dollars to sit in arenas, and they tell them, see yourself being a success. Huh, is that using your imagination? Sure is. It's scriptural. And God is wanting us to see ourselves seated in heavenly places in Christ, far above all this mess. He wants us to see ourselves there. Are we there physically? No. But we have authority. It says we've been raised and seated with him in heavenly places with Christ in God. So that is a place of what? Authority. So when we operate in this earth, we operate from that place of authority. See yourself there. See yourself being a success. See yourself healed. You know, it's interesting. Let me digress a moment. Let them put this scripture up, Colossians 3, chapter 5. And this is the Passion Translation, Colossians chapter 3. I'll wait so you all can see it. Colossians 3 and verse 5. See yourself prosperous. You may not have two nickels to rub together, but you have a new covenant established on better promises. And he's looking for us to believe that and see ourselves that way. When I see myself that way, I'm going to talk that way. Because first it comes with imagination, and then it comes with your mouth. What you see is what you say. If you see yourself defeated, you'll talk defeated. If you see yourself a success, you'll talk success even when you don't have it. Because you know and you believe God and his promises. But what does this say here? It says, live as one who has died to every form of sexual sin and impurity. Live as one who died to diseases. Ha! Live as one who has died to diseases. Ha! Live that way. See yourself that way. Himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses, and with his stripes I have been healed. I'm going to live that way. Even if my body's acting up, I'm living as if. Yes, sir. Well, you're going to have to see yourself that way. You have to see yourself that way. So God is looking for us to use this imagination of ours. And it says, and we'll go back to the Passion Translation. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is, the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. Now listen to verse 19. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement or advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. That comes by faith. So we're going to need faith to look to him, believe for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. The eyes of our what? Our imagination are illuminated. So God wants us to reach people with the love of God, with the Word of God, and being directed by the Spirit of God and the power of God. He wants to bring him to people. Now let's just finish up here. This is Colossians chapter 3, same chapter, but back in verse 1. This is the Passion Translation. Verse 1, 2, and 3. And this says here, Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits, enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Verse 2, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life, and now your life is hidden away in God in Christ. Huh. And the more we meditate, the more we feast on the Word of God, we're changed. More light comes, more illumination comes, more of His will is revealed to us. We're not talking about just, what I'm saying is what? Take 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, whatever time you have. If you've got more time, then take more time. But just take a scripture, meditate on it. What do I mean by that? Look at it, think about it. And the more you do, God's Spirit in you will show you some things. He'll reveal some things to you. You know, sometimes I think people think that God cares about some things, but some things in our life he doesn't think about or is concerned about. Do you think that God could show us how to live a healthy life? Do you think God could show us how to invest our money? I think so. He knows where all the good deals are. He knows where to go, where to shop, where to buy, what house to buy, what clothes to buy. He'll show you if you look to him for direction. Man, I've had some of the most marvelous things happen in my own life that I never asked. He just said, go over here and shop. And I'm thinking, yeah, but I don't want to shop today. I'm going to go home. And I've had some of the most marvelous deals. I walk into a store and I'm going, geez, I'm glad I came. That's all I'm talking about. He'll show you how to make money. He'll show you the right thing to do so you're not working 2, 3, 4 jobs to make ends meet. He'll show you. He'll open doors. Sometimes it takes a little time. So don't get frustrated. But look to him. And the same spirit that will show you how to prosper. See, that's what John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So God wants us to live a peaceful life. He wants us to live an abundant life. And he wants to use you as an advertisement. He wants to show off through you. Because people today, they think, well, you know, God, they got all kinds of opinions on what they think God is. But when they meet somebody who's at peace, and when they meet somebody who's walking in the love of God, when they meet somebody that's just normal, you know what I mean by just normal? And prosperity for you, everybody's got different ideas of what prosperity is. You know, if you look at the world, if you look at, because I looked this up once, do you know what is considered rich in the world? I'm talking about not the United States, just around the world. What amount of money do you consider being rich in the world? Anybody got an idea? How much? No. It's about 20 to 30,000. In the world, around $30,000 is considered being rich. Yeah, I'm saying, what is that? In other words, if you had $30,000, not making that, but if you had $30,000, that's considered rich in the world. Talking about looking at all the countries, even including the United States. Now, in the United States, different story. But in the world, looking at all the countries, $30,000. Look, you can go look this stuff up on the internet. It may have changed, but when I looked at it, around $30,000 was considered affluent and rich. Well, think about it. You go to some countries that's remote, that they're scratching dirt to make ends meet. Now, we're not talking about large cities, because you can go to Kenya, you can go to other countries where they have larger cities that are almost like New York, but you can get out into some of those remote areas. I'm thinking, when you look at everything, these were statistics. You can go look it up on Google or whatever. What's considered rich in the world? So that's all I'm saying, that we have our ideas of what rich is, but God's not moved by that. In other words, he wants to use you here so that people can see him working in your life. You're an advertisement for him. People go, what, why are you different? Well, I'll tell you why I'm different. They say, you know, you always seem to be this way. Well, let me tell you why. I remember when I left my corporate job, this is many, many, many years ago. You know, I went to HR. I told them I was leaving. They didn't want me to leave. And so I remember somebody, one of the directors said to me, said, you know, and they watch you, you know, they watch you on your job. And I remember, it's interesting how people notice things. And they said to me, this one person said, you know, we notice you. You get upset, but you never curse. And I thought, it's an interesting thing. And I didn't. But you get fired up over something. That didn't affect them. They said, you get upset about things, but you never curse. I said, well, that was a witness to them. You see what I'm saying? You can be a witness, and certain things about you affect. You're a light. So you go in somewhere, you just be you. Just be you. Don't try to be something that's not you. Let God live in and through you to reach people. And God is the master chess player. He knows exactly who you will impact. He knows that. He knows how to use people, because he said, I will show you how to fish for people. So he knows where to place you and how to use you if we just yield, right? So I'm excited. It's an exciting time to be alive. It's an exciting time to know that God lives in me and the love of God is in me, and I don't have to try to be something. He's in me. And I just have to walk into a room and let him work in me. You don't have to hit people upside the head with the Bible. Just love people. Even when they're ornery, just love them. They're hurting. Sometimes people have been bruised so much in life that you're the next person they're going to hit and lash out at. But their heart is hurting. They're looking for an answer. And they think, you're just in the way, I'm going to bite on you. So don't respond. I mean, just people are hurting today. That's for sure. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. God is so good. So, so good. And I'm telling you, we're about ready to see the greatest influx into the church. The greatest revival that we've ever seen in this earth is about ready to unfold. Jesus is ready to return. And there's millions of people that haven't accepted him. And they're going to see visual demonstrations of the glory of God. They're going to see what did he say? He said, I will pour out my glory upon all flesh. People are going to see demonstrations of him through us. I'm telling you, we're right there. And he's trying to get us to think about it, to be aware. We're right there. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for using us. Even in all of our imperfections, we thank you for using us. And Father, we repent if we haven't thought about you enough. We thank you for reminding us. We thank you that you love people. And use us however you see fit and however you desire. We say yes, and we thank you for working through us and demonstrating your goodness and your mercy through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Glory. God is good.